Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and I am really, really excited. Tommy, can I call you Tommy? Yes, he's excited. Tommy, our great producer, with always a great tie, by the way. He always has different ties every single time we're on the air. But this is exciting. Do you know why, Tom? Because this is the debut show of Coach's Corner. I've wanted this show for a long time because people need great coaches, and we have two great coaches that are the star of Coach's Corner, Lori and Joe Battaglia. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
This is so exciting because, you know, in the old days, I always thought a business, and I know you do business and individuals, and we'll talk about that, but I always thought every business needs three type of professionals, an attorney, a CPA, and maybe, I forgot what the third one, maybe like insurance or probably insurance. But this day and age, I'm convinced they need still an attorney, still a CPA, but a great coach. There's no doubt in my mind the emphasis is on coaching these days.
Yeah, we would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yes, because you are coaches. Well, let's go through and see what we have here in terms of your background. And first of all, you're the owners of Living the Dream Coaches. Who wants to start off and describe Living the Dream Coaches? They're both pointing to each other. View us at breakradioshow.com. You can see us in person on TV right now at Ustream, but that's breakradioshow.com. So Living the Dream Coaches, I like the title. Describe how you came up with that. What does it really mean? How does it affect people?
You know, we were looking for a title that really showed what kind of vision we had for ourselves. And I have a friend back on the East Coast that says living the dream all the time when I ask him how he is. And I started Googling names. I wanted vision in there, and I wanted dreams, and we didn't quite know what our niche was going to be at the time. So I Googled that, and it turned out it was available.
Oh, nice.
So
really?
It just seemed like the thing to do.
Living the dream. You hear it and you see it in movies all the time.
You do.
How you doing? I'm living the dream.
Yes.
Now, sometimes you hear people, when you ask them, how you doing, they go, I'm living the nightmare. In fact, most people this day and age, they're living the nightmare. Look at the economy. Yeah. That's why coaches are so, Joe, let's go to you. I mean, if you had a choice between living the nightmare and living the dream, what, I mean, it's so obvious. What would you pick?
Oh, of course, living the dream. I mean, that's...
Yeah. There's no question about it.
None at all.
What I really like about both of you is that you're living your dream.
Yes.
We are.
You're demonstrating it.
We are.
And look at your background. I mean, you have, Joe, you were a background include 37 years in healthcare, and Lori, 33 years in the financial service industry. You're bringing in a wealth of life experiences, business experience, to help people live their own dreams.
Yes.
So let me ask. Let's start with you, Lori. What do you think you've learned, some of the big points from 33 years in the financial service industry that you bring into your coaching? I mean, that's a lot of great experience.
It is. And I've been in leadership positions, and I've also trained leaders and gotten to train teams and work with them to bring them closer together. And I'll tell you, I really like the dynamics of when people work together. And it's interesting to watch when people pull apart.
You know, that's a great – see, that in itself is invaluable. I mean, being a leadership, trainer and really in that industry, that is what companies need.
Yes.
Leadership is a missing art.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I do think. Yeah. Yes.
Now, Joe, you 37 years – by the way, you both look too young to have these type of years behind you. How did you both do that?
That's what I wanted. We started when we were 15, right?
Pretty much.
Wow.
No.
So 37 years in health. Yeah. So what were you doing there in health?
I was, actually still am, a nuclear medicine technologist.
Wow, that sounds fancy.
Indeed, it's interesting. Yeah, quite interesting. But health, if you're involved in healthcare, if you're involved – successfully in healthcare.
Yeah.
You have to be able to look at a person, judge what that person is feeling.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, if they're scared to death, if they're apprehensive, read that, put that patient at ease so they feel comfortable with you. Gain their trust, most important. And if you once you get that knack, I'll tell you, it's addictive. It is. You have that person right there, and it's you communicate on a level that is just fabulous.
That is excellent, because that is another great skill set, especially for a coach.
Indeed.
To put people's fears at rest, because one reason I think people need coaches is that there's a lot of resistance, there's a lot of internal conflict, there's fear, and it immobilizes them.
It does.
Yeah.
And
it
does. That's just, wow, so this is good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I won't say combine what it is, but it looks like 60 years.
Something like that.
Wow, 60 years of combined experience?
And
this
still
is
young.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting to me, I see it networking, and with the downturn of the economy, it seems like a lot of people may have lost their jobs and so on.
Yeah.
And they become a life coach all of a sudden. And maybe they're really young and they don't have experience, and maybe it's by default rather than by choice. And that always sort of a little bit of concern for mm-hmm. me, that in every profession you got great ones and you have ones that are just trying to make the money, or even without experience. And it, as a coaches, wouldn't you agree then there are, like CPAs and attorneys in all professions, there's some really high-end ones, and there's others that may not maybe they shouldn't be in the field.
Perhaps, yes.
That's saying it nicely, right?
Yes. I think we saw some of that when we went through coaches school. Some people do have the gift for it, and some people don't have the gift for it. And you can go through all the things and certify. And but I think that they get weeded out over time. You know, they say that you attract in the kind of energy that you put out.
Yeah.
So you get whatever you put out is what comes into you. So I think that nature has a way of weeding that out over time.
I think you're right. It's sort of like the law of attraction.
Yeah,
in a
absolutely.
Way. So tell us about your background. Tell the listeners about your background as coaches. I think you're certified.
We are.
Yes.
Why don't you go through that? Who wants to start on that one?
Go ahead.
Okay. We went to a school called IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching.
Mm.
And they're based in New Jersey, and that's kind of ironic because we were originally from Pennsylvania, but we didn't find them then. We found them as we moved here to Arizona.
Oh.
And it was something that I'd talked about doing for a long time, so off and on. And we went to the coaches' school, and we went to Los Angeles for it, found that it was a really great school. There were four intensive weekends, and we're talking 3 days of 9 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And much, much, much homework in between, where you're being coached and you're coaching and you're getting a mentor to work with you, and then you have written and oral exams to take. And so we've done all of that and passed all of that, and we are now applying for ICF certification. And what that is the International Coach Federation is one of the certifying bodies for coaches. So I would recommend that people check that out if they're going to hire a coach. They go in and they look at what the credentials are and what the schooling is, because all schools are great and some are greater than others.
That's right.
And make sure that it syncs up with what you're really looking for.
So you would recommend anyone looking for a coach that they at least inquire about the background and certifications?
Yes.
And you said it was ICF?
ICF, yes. The International Coach Federation truly is international. I think there's 7,000 people in it, Joe. Do you remember the number?
Yeah, around 7,000.
Yeah, across the world.
Wow.
And they set the standards for coaches, and there's a whole list of competencies, and you have to demonstrate those competencies in order to pass and get certified.
You know what I like about this, what you're talking about, is the coaches that really are serious will take it seriously, and then they will get certified. And not to say there can't be other great coaches, but I think that's a good criteria for people when they choose a coach to see the certification, Joe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that pretty much goes across really any, as you said, across any profession.
True.
If you're serious about it, you're going to go after the proper credentialing and the proper training.
And that's so nice that you have that. I really admire that about both of you, that you have that, you can talk about it, and there is a difference. So, you know, people need to be aware who they select. And, you know, there's no harm interviewing a lot of people. I always tell people, you know, I'm a CPA, but, hey, talk to others. You know, see what you think. But this is what you ask them.
Yeah.
You know, ask them about their background, their credentials, their experience, their knowledge, their certifications, and people, it starts showing up, but a lot of people pick based on just bedside manner. And
true.
That's not...
Or website.
Oh, yeah, or website manner. Hey, that was good.
Yeah, exactly.
From bedside to website.
Yes.
Wait, did I say bedside or bedside? Oh, yeah. I have bedside now. Hey, I think we've just discovered something. I'm writing it down. Bedside manner versus website manner. This is very good. And or the Wrigley manner.
Yes.
Wait, isn't there a Wrigley something out here in Phoenix?
I think so.
Wrigley Mansion.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ever hear of the Haunted Mansion in L.A.? I went there once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was lost for 3 years. Anyway. So the other thing is what I like is, so you got a great background, but you've sort of, I don't know if you call it specialized or I don't know the term. Maybe it is that term of reinventing yourself and relationships. I like that. That's probably loaded full of meanings. Why don't we start, and we'll probably take a break in about 3 or 4 minutes, but let's get started on that reinvention or reinventing yourself. Lori, what does that mean?
Well, people reinvent themselves many times during their lives, and sometimes it's accidental. So sometimes your job goes away, or you're suddenly divorced and you didn't expect it, and they wander through life and decide to be something or just sort of show up and let it happen. And what we advocate is decide how you want to reinvent yourself, decide how you want to show up in life, and work with a coach to get clear on that so that it's conscious.
Right. You can react to life, or you can take charge of your life and direct the way you want it to happen.
What do you tell people? I mean, I like what you're saying, reinventing, and that means you're designing your life. But what do you tell people, and there's so many of them out there, and it doesn't mean they're bad people, it just means they have learnings or lack of learnings they haven't yet have knowledge of or awareness, that they're not a victim. I mean, you know, there's so many people that really think the external circumstances control their life, and thus have become a victim of their external circumstances. What do you tell people that, wait, you don't have to be a victim any longer?
Yeah, we work with people on their internal blocks. So a lot of people will come and they'll say, I want to accomplish X, and they have a goal in mind. And oftentimes it's not about that goal. It's about what's holding you back, how you're holding yourself back from that goal. Maybe you don't think you're worthy of it. Maybe you do think people are, you know, out to get you, or you're just never going to measure up. So the coach helps you unpack that baggage. And the interesting thing is some people aren't ready to unpack.
I would totally agree. Joe, too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, you're a lot of times you're the, and you see it time and time again, where what's keeping them is really themselves.
I always say, get out of your own way.
That's it.
And then your life becomes much better.
Yes.
Exactly. Not about you.
Yes.
It is.
I think that's important. Why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, I want to ask a question to both Lori and Joe about maybe are victims because they don't like to take responsibility and be accountable, and perhaps then they can't use any excuses, and then they have to be responsible. When we come back, we will ask that question. This is the debut show of The Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joe Battaglia. We'll be right back.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the debut show of Coach's Corner, starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia. This is going to be on every second Monday of the month from 2 to 3, so you want to make sure everyone mark that on your calendars, unless you're driving right now. Pull over, then mark it on your calendars, and if you can pull over. I always qualify that because I could imagine people like, oh, I'm on the freeway, I'm going to pull over. It's like, wait, hello? Okay, I can't say to everyone what you should do, but really mark it on your calendar, second Monday of every month, 2 to 3, Coach's Corner, starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia. Now, we left the listeners in a cliffhanger situation. If you remember, we used to have that in movies. Well, I think we still do, actually.
I think we do.
Twilight. Are you Twilight fans?
Haven't gotten into that one. No.
I got into that one.
Did you? A lot of people have.
A lot of teenagers. Maybe I'm a teenager at heart.
I don't know. A lot of my women friends are also very into Twilight. Even the ones that said, oh, I don't like werewolves, said, oh, my.
It's actually pretty
good. It's a good story.
Yeah, it really is a great story. The last one coming up next November. Mm. Anyway, we were talking about taking responsibility, you know, victims, accountability, and whether victims really use excuses as a way to avoid the pain of looking at themselves. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's filters that victims look through. And I think intellectually people would not want to be a victim if they can avoid it. But sometimes they rationalize why they are a victim. And it keeps them from taking responsibility, I believe, and accountability. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means there's some tools that can be helpful to move them into a master of their own destiny.
Yes.
And that's where a good coach can give you a hand there. As you said, we call them internal blocks. It's that little guy that sits on your shoulder and tells you, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, when really you can, and it's just yourself who's holding you back. With a little encouragement, a little exposure. Once that little guy that sits on your shoulder is exposed to the light of day, you see him for what he is.
It's almost like a breath of fresh air, and you've probably seen it with your clients.
We have.
Tell us about that. You just sort of see the light bulb goes on.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that really is, and that's one of my. I'm a frustrated teacher, and I love to watch the lights go on. You know, you know you have them when you ask somebody a question and they say back to you, you know, that's a really good question. You got them. And they start to question what their beliefs are and how they're approaching things like that.
Now, I'm going to guess that one of the greatest rewards for you and Laurie, both of you, is when you see that sigh of relief of freedom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because it's no fun to be trapped in that victimhood. It's no picnic for anybody. It's pretty miserable, really.
It's horrible.
It is.
Because then you don't feel you have control over your life. You might develop a sense of hopelessness and helplessness.
Yeah.
And if you don't think there's hope, you won't take action.
And we're seeing a lot of people that these last couple of years, with the economy doing what it did, threw them into victim thinking. Even the folks that we knew that weren't there before, we've seen some of our friends go through a lot of, I can't do anything about this. I can't do anything about this. There are no jobs out there. Well, I think now there are. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I don't want to say that it's a piece of cake, go get one. It's not for a lot of people. But there is availability.
Well, there really is, and part of, I bet, coaching is not only really transforming disempowering beliefs into empowering beliefs, but I suspect it's also motivating and inspiring them to upgrade their skill sets.
Yes.
As well.
So tell us about that. Tell us how important that is, especially in today's economy.
Sure.
Well, I think it really is, and I think Joe and I are kind of evidence of that. You know, when we saw this, we were talking about the certification. When we saw what was out there as far as wanting to be coaches, you know, we looked at programs and things like that, and you're never really there. The degrees that I have, I've gotten them as a working adult. I don't think you're ever too old to go back to school. I don't think you're ever too old to learn new things. And there are some great programs out there that help people whose skills kind of haven't kept up with the job market to get those skills. And I think that's a really important thing to take advantage of, if you can find it.
You know, I think it takes also deferred gratification or a little bit longer term thinking.
It sure does.
Yeah. I mean, does that make sense? Because if you're going to go for a skill set, maybe you got to look ahead and say, well, it might take me 6 months, a year, maybe a 4-year college degree.
Yeah.
But look at the doors that will open. In today's society, it looks like, hey, here, right now, media gratification. Who wants to comment on that?
Yeah.
Joe, media gratification.
That's so unfortunate, you know, that people do. That seems to be the line of thinking nowadays. It's, you know, if I can't do it now,
why do it?
What exactly? Yeah. What's the point? And it's, I don't know.
It's sort of sad and tragic.
It is. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. I would say if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Let's say you have children or a family. Well, if you don't want to do it for you, then do it for them because it will impact them.
And you know what somebody said to me one time? I was struggling over whether I should start back for my degree. I got my bachelor's degree, like I said, as a working adult. And my son was actually out of high school. And that was the time I was thinking, well, maybe it's time for me to go. And I sat at a meeting, and the meeting had this woman who was a lot older than me at the time, probably my age now. And she said, well, you know, eventually you're going to be 50 years old. Do you want to be 50 years old with a degree or without a degree?
Interesting.
And that's what I'd say to somebody that's pondering, like, oh, it's going to take me so long, and my kids are little. And yeah, it does, but you take it one step at a time, and you have intermediate goals, and, you know, I nailed the associate's degree, then I nailed the bachelor's degree, then I nailed the master's degree. And it's been a long haul between 92 and now.
I always thought if you focus on the end result, then the process seems easier.
Yes.
Rather than focus on, you know, step one, step two, without seeing the reward.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a generation type thing. What do you guys think? Is it because of what do they call them, the Gen X or something?
Now it's Gen Y.
Oh, Gen Y.
Or millennials, I think they call
now.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple millennials in the family.
We do.
We have a couple Gen Xers in the family.
What are the age things of a millennial and a Gen Y and Gen X?
The millennials, I think, go up to almost 30 years old now. They're in their late teens to late 20s.
Oh.
And then the Xers go to now about age 40.
And the Y's? How about the Y's?
Well, the Y's and the millennials are one and the same.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
The millennials and Y's.
Yep, they are one and the same.
Wow. How about the complainers? Oh, no, that's across the board.
That could be any generation.
That's across the board,
yeah.
You know, I met someone yesterday that retired fire department, and I thought it was really interesting where he was. He might be listening, in fact. He said he listens to the show. Tom, is this appropriate? And he's saying, okay. No, but I found it interesting because he said, you know, the prestige, I think, of the fire department is higher than most professions.
It is.
I mean, you take certain professions, I won't mention any certain types, but sometimes I'll mention it. Politicians. Okay, they're low. I've had a lot of politicians. I mean, I like the ones on our show, but there's certain professions are not as highly regarded.
Yes.
And there's others I won't mention. And there's some that I think really are high, and I think the firemen, the fire departments are very high as far as, you know, their honesty, integrity, their willingness to do things to help others. And he said, you know, he thought that He said, but there's been a shift in the generation, and that unification within the fire departments, you know, across the country now, maybe not quite the same. The culture has shifted where, you know, one for all for one type of thing. It doesn't seem to be clicking anymore.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and I asked them to, you know, come on the radio and talk about that because I think that might be a cultural problem.
Yeah.
And it's about short-term thinking, and I thought maybe we can make a difference. But do you see that, too, in other industries where the generation really dictates the culture versus the standards dictating what people should be behaving like?
Yeah. I know from my time in corporate America, and especially in the financial services industry, the last employer that I was at, we had a lot of people coming in from college. And it's a whole new way of thinking. It's a whole new way of training them, because that was my role, was to get them recruited and trained up. And it is very different. And I try not to think like that too often because I'm a boomer. And I think in our day, I think most of us in this room are boomers. In our day, we were accused of being the ones that wanted it fast and didn't want to wait and, you know, wanted it now.
Right.
And so I think every generation that comes in thinks things are going to be faster. But I see a real shift in, here's some good stuff. What I see is a shift in that where we were willing to go in and become workaholics, they're not. They're not so much.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They want work-life balance. And so a lot of our clients come in and they're striving, they're boomers, and they're striving for work-life balance, and they're saying, I don't think I can do this. But the Xers, or I'm sorry, the Ys, the millennials, are saying, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So,
that's interesting. Yeah. And then you have some millennials that will take 2 weeks off to work.
Yes.
You get it? Instead of 2 weeks off on vacation.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Come on, Tom. You should have given me applause on that one.
Well, they take off the volunteer, too.
But you're right. Maybe that is a possibility, that the balancing might be better with the Ys. And does that take away from the work ethic, you think, or –
It depends who you work for. If you're working for boomers and people that believe that it's important to put in long hours,
right.
It's a whole culture shift. It's a whole thinking shift.
Interesting. So wow, you both have to be on your toes quite a bit to see what generation you're working with.
Yes. Yes.
That must be exciting.
It is. We tend to end up with Xers and boomers for the most part. I think that's a part of life. Not to say that some coaches don't specialize in the people who are in their teens and 20s. There are coaches out there that have that niche. Ours tends to focus on people that are wondering, is it going to be like this? Do I have to accept it the way it is? Is there something different out there? So we get people when they're in that redevelop, personally develop kind of time of life.
Well, that's good. So really, and that's a quite a big market. 40,
it is.
40s on up.
Yes, it is.
Wait, what's after the boomers? Or what are they called, the seniors?
Let me think. There's a name for it.
Yeah, there is
think
something.
What it is. And then there's the ones that are our parents' age that are the World War II vets.
So there's
something in between. And
there's
I can't
Xers,
think what it's called.
Boomers, something else, and something else.
Yes.
What would be the third something else? The great-great-great-grandpas and grandmas.
I don't know. I think everybody that's around 80 to 90 gets lumped into the World War II vets.
Oh, so it'd be
the greatest generation.
The great generation.
The greatest generation.
I like
that.
So that's how it is. Okay, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, why don't we get into some relationship coaching? Because you know what tomorrow is?
Yeah.
It's Valentine's Day.
It is.
All right, Joe, have you done something for your lovely sweetheart?
I do something for my sweetheart every day.
That is nice.
That
I want to talk about that. And when we come back, you're going to make me look bad. But anyway, that's just how it is. And we'll be right back.
Tax time is here again. Let Birenbaum & Spieth relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Birnbaum and Spien has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff, and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spien, CPA.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Okay, and welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the debut show of Coach's Corner, starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia, every second Monday from 2 to 3. This is good. I'm having fun with not only Laurie and Joe, but Tommy. I like to tease you, Tommy. Did you see what I did before the break? I had the hold-up sign before you go on the air. And it was, if I had a little biscuit, I would be, no, just kidding. So anyway, he's getting, I'll hear from him after the show. Anyway, so we left off about relationships because it is Valentine's Day tomorrow. And, you know, off there, you both told me something really, I thought really sweet and kind about every day you make it a Valentine's Day. So who wants to talk about that? I think Joe does.
Well, Valentine's, yeah, I mean, we tend not to make a big deal of Valentine's Day and Christmas, and because it if you walk the walk every single day, then every day is Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Truly is.
Wow, we're going to get some women calling you.
Yeah.
Wow, the board is lit up. Can you believe it? No, but that's a great example. That just demonstrates both of your such high level of connection. And I could sense that the first time I met both of you.
Yeah.
You have this great connection that you complement each other. So, Laurie, how does that feel when every day is Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, here's a little story. When we were back in Pennsylvania and Joe would leave the house at, I don't even know when because I wasn't out of bed yet, at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would get up and come downstairs around maybe 7 to get ready for work and to get ready to leave, there would be a little square of paper on the counter, and some days it just said, I love you, and other days it might have something else on it, and those little notes, I would do the same for him sometimes, and we would just stick them in a box. And we probably have 3 or 4 shoe boxes full of those little notes that piled up after, I guess, probably about 8 or 9 years of that.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we moved it with us.
Yeah.
We
wow.
moved those notes with us. We did not throw them out. So
maybe that could be a book?
Could be.
Could
wow.
be.
Could be.
You need an editor or publisher?
Well,
we're
yeah,
cutting
we're
the deal over
to,
the
sure.
air right now. well, you may need a CPA.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, that is really sort of cool because I agree. I think, and let's talk about this, and you know, Valentine's Day is cool and the holidays are mm-hmm. cool, yet it's what the motivation is behind it. If it feels like an obligation, I don't know. Why don't you
yeah.
comment on that? That doesn't work, Joe.
Yeah, you're right. You know, go out and buy a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. You're right. It's an obligation, something you have to do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No. If you have the right relationship, if you strive to make that relationship real.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah.
Then it's not an obligation. It's just the way it is. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And Lori, from a woman's perspective, can you always tell if, I mean, not with Joe, I know you have a real and honest obligation, but but with clients and friends, can your women friends tell when someone's doing it as an obligation versus a natural response?
I think so. I do think there are women and men that think that you have to follow certain sets of rules. And the one thing that Joe and I both brought to this relationship was there are no rules and there's nothing but straight talk. And I knew when I found that, it was really important to me. I don't play gender roles well. I don't go by, you know, these little lists of things you have to do to catch a man. Just never appealed to me.
There was a book called The Rules.
Yeah.
It's all about getting the ring.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Yes. And I just don't put any stock in that. Some people do. And some people it works for. But that's not the kind of relationship we wanted to have. We wanted to have one that, and we're a second marriage.
Yeah.
So we know what it looks like when it doesn't work out so hot. But we really consciously created this relationship, and that was way before we ever got into coaching. And it was really Joe's idea to get into the relationship part of coaching as opposed to mine. You know, many people would think, oh, it's probably the woman. No, not in this case. It's Joe that enjoys that relationship aspect of things even more than I do.
You know, we're, as has been said, you know, we're social animals. That is what it is to be human, is to have a relationship with another person. You know, is there any bigger hell than jail, being alone, solitaire?
Right.
There is no bigger hell. We are social people. We have to interact with other people. Why not make the best of it? Mm-hmm. Why not make it real?
I totally agree. And I think I've heard in some of the books I've read and maybe the seminars I've given, is that another part of being in a relationship is to grow and learn from each other.
Oh,
how
wow.
big is that?
Absolutely.
Huge for us.
Huge. Yeah.
Definitely huge for us. Yeah. It's been interesting. We talk about that a lot because we really wanted a relationship where we could both grow and not grow apart. Both of us were married to high school sweethearts initially.
Wow.
Yeah. And when you settle down when you're 15 or 16 and then you stay through your 40s or 50s, it's a long time with one person that you probably didn't even really know who you were when you got into that relationship. Well, we met as, you know, single adults who had sort of figured that out. So, yeah.
No mind games.
Yes.
I'm
tired of mind games.
Yes.
Well, what did you think he meant this when he said that?
Yeah.
Tell them about your backroom conversations when you were in healthcare.
Well, you you hear those, you know, where, you know, women have, I love them. I love them, every single one of them. But they have a thing about trying to read things into what men say.
So interpretation.
Yes.
Right. When most men, some are not, are what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
They are what they present to be. And by trying to read something into that is just, you're just playing mind games with yourself.
How about this? I mean, you talk about reinvention. Some people, you know, when they're engaged, they know if they say to themselves or even their friends that, well, once we're married, I'm going to change that person.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't use one gender or the other, but often I hear it with women. I don't know if that's common with men too, but that may not be the way to go, is it?
No, you know, there's an old joke that, well, how's that they say it, that women marry somebody expecting they'll change?
Women marry men, women marry men expecting they'll change, and of course they don't.
Yeah.
And men marry women
hoping they won't
change.
Oh,
and
they
do.
Well, how does marriage work then? What is going on?
It's the great cosmic joke.
Yeah, I've heard that. That is sort of funny, actually.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that's the mind games you're talking about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That is the mind games.
Where did acceptance leave a relationship? I mean, how would you define acceptance? I think that's interesting. Yeah. I and we could have a discussion about this because I think a lot of people maybe don't understand the true meaning of acceptance. And maybe it enters into their mind, well, accept them if they change. Well, that doesn't sound like acceptance, does it?
No.
Not at all.
So how would you, how do you think of acceptance, both of you?
I think of acceptance as, you know, I better be okay with who he is and how he shows up and all of that. And if he chooses to change, so be it. And I've seen with both of us big changes in us in the 11 years that we've been together. We are not now the people. At the core, we were the same people, but we become different people. We've taken on different interests. We couldn't even dream as big as we've.
No.
We couldn't have dreamed it as big as it's been, for as good as it's been for us. So you need somebody to be with you who accepts all of you, warts and all. You know, in my case, it was growing out the hair and letting it be white instead of coloring it for years and years and years. And it was because Joe said, "What are you doing that for?"
Oh, right. So nice.
I was pushing her all the way. I'm a believer in realism.
Yeah.
Don't be something that Fifth Avenue says you need to be. Be
right.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want to see. And that's what she is.
Mm-hmm. And was there any resistance to that?
I had a hankering to do it someday. I was going to do it someday. And between his gentle support, I would call it, and saying, it's okay if you do that, when I was saying, someday I'm going to do that, I took a leadership course on authentic leadership. And I came home and I said, I do believe the time is now. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And this hair has been white for quite a while under that dye. So it's been like an uncovering. It has been a reinvention of who I am now at 55 years old.
And it's also a demonstration of both of you, how you accept each other. And I really like that. And I wrote it down, and you said it, gentle supportiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down supportive might be part of the acceptance, you know, criteria.
Yeah.
You know, being supportive. And so many people... And I guess maybe it's the first thought. It's like if one of the partners want to do one thing, do you think of them first or you think of you first? How it impacts you.
Mm.
Now, if you're a cheerleader and a fan of your partner, you might think of them first.
Well,
yes.
The other part of that though is that person who wants to be, who wants to change, out communicates that with the person that they're going to change. Too.
Yeah, so it's not a hidden agenda.
Exactly. Oh. It's all based on communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, you know, it's the little thing that you don't tell them the way you feel.
Yeah.
There's where you run into problems.
Like, honey, I'm going to Las Vegas with a couple friends, and you don't say who the friends are. That could
right.
be a problem.
Exactly.
But no, I agree with you. And the communication, why don't we take a quick break now? When we come back, let's talk about that. Relationship coaching and how important communication is in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's huge, and I know there's different ways to communicate, but the best way is always honesty.
Yes.
And we'll be right back.
Exactly.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm. Ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
If you're concerned that you are making financial decisions on information that may be incorrect or not up to date, Birnbaum and Spean can help. We are certified QuickBooks advisors. Let us review your financial data to make sure it is accurate and up to date. We can also review the setup and procedures used to avoid the costly decisions as you grow your business. Call Mitchell Spean, CPA and QuickBooks Pro Advisor at 602-266-5633 to get started.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the debut show of Coach's Corner, starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia. Every second Monday from 2 to 3, you're going to hear Coach's Corner. This has been fabulous as a debut show because you're really talking about, you're really coming from your heart and soul and sharing great experiences to show people, hey, there is hope in relationships. There is hope despite the economy. Now let's talk a little bit more about relationships, because that's a big part of what you do as far as coaching. Mm-hmm. And Joe, tell us a little bit, who's your market? I mean, who do you do relationship coaching for? It could be probably a wide open market.
Wide open market. Indeed. I mean, besides the committed couple that are looking to get that spark back, they've kind of lost the communication and they want to get it back. Really, again, communication in a relationship is everything, even to the point where your relationship to yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of times, how many times have I said it? The easiest person to fool is yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to get a handle on who you are before really you can start relating with anybody else.
And you can only give what you have.
That's right.
And if you don't have it, you better learn to get it.
That's it.
Otherwise, what are you giving?
Right.
An empty
copy of what someone else thinks you ought to be.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Right. So you will help couples? Is that part of
couples.
Your? And people that want to be a couple?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or keep couples that don't want to be a couple?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That too. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wide open market.
Absolutely.
Yes. And how about business relationships? Do you go into that?
Huge.
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's again, you know, that may even be one of the things that will cement us with again, Laurie does reinvention. I do relationships. There it is within business and reinvention, and it's all right there.
Mm-hmm. That's and it does combine nicely, because you can reinvent a current existing relationship.
Yeah.
Or you can reinvent your idea of a relationship that you want to get into at some point.
Yes.
So what's the process of that? I'm sort of interested in that. So let's say you have a couple that wants that spark. I like how you said that. Let's get that spark back. And I suspect people do, don't they? I mean, they've lost it.
I think a lot of people do.
I mean,
life gets in the way, the kids get in the way, the job gets in the way, and you just stop communicating.
And is that the key?
From the heart.
Yeah, from the heart. And so is that the key to ignite that flame?
I believe it is.
So how do you go about coaching someone? I know it's probably very specific to the couple.
It is.
But communication is the general foundation.
Absolutely.
And what would you tell people? I mean, what are some of the keys to communication? I suspect it's open, it's honest, it's real.
It's open, it's honest, it's being unafraid to show who you are.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerability. Intimacy. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's the true, as far as I'm concerned, that's the true meaning of what intimacy is.
Now, think of intimacy. There was a movie by Michael Myers. Mike Myers?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was called, like, The Guru, and he said intimacy. Into me, I see.
Oh, very good.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
Into me, I see. It's supposed to be a comedy, but I go, wow, that's insightful.
Yes.
love that movie. It didn't get good reviews, but I liked it. Now, being unafraid, this is interesting, because some of the listeners out there are like, you know, whether a woman or a man, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. I've learned to be afraid. I open up and I get sort of smacked around. How do you handle that? I mean, both sides have to sort of be open and accepting versus slapping someone around. How do you handle that?
Yeah.
Who wants to go with that one?
Go ahead.
You know, that is a tough one because I think Joe and I have both come out of relationships where that was vulnerability was not exactly where you want to go.
I got
And it was because you would pay for it later in some way, shape, or form. And for us, because we both cared very deeply, early in our relationship, we actually, we were talking about this on the way over, we decided that we were going to go to a therapist before we ran into problems because we had so much baggage we brought with us from families.
Not to work on our relationship,
right?
But to work on our relationship with the past.
So you wouldn't bring it forward.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Wow. So, and I think sometimes, you know, coaches may not be the answer for someone who is really entrenched in, it just has some stuff they really need to release that isn't going to work through with a coach. Old family issues, old abusive relationships that keep showing up again and again. A coach can do so much, but you may get to the point where we say to you, you might want to think about going to a therapist because you have some stuff to unpack, and that's we're really not qualified to do that.
Yeah, you're not doing therapy. Right. You're coaching.
And that is the difference between a coach and a therapist. A therapist looks to the past to repair the past. We're not, although we do look at that. Yeah, we look at that. Yeah. But we're interested in looking forward. How can I make you the best person you are today? Mm-hmm. If you need that work with a therapist, then we will absolutely refer you to a therapist. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a lot of abuse and what have you that needs to be taken care of. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that makes sense. And I like that approach. What you did is like I call it wellness therapy.
It is. Exactly. It's preventative.
Preventative.
Yes.
And people should do that. People need a license to drive. Mm-hmm. They got to study. You need a license for all these professions. But what about a license for a relationship or to be a parent? Yeah. They don't have that. Nope. Why is that?
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
And both of you are dragging your bags and your parents' bags and probably your grandparents' bags with you into a relationship. I remember being young and saying, it doesn't matter about the family. I'm just marrying the man. No, you're not.
You're marrying the family.
You're marrying the family.
And if you have, like, kids, young kids, and they, you know, and they're divorced, you know, so the kids are back and forth to different parents, and then both ex spouses,
you're dragging that along
have
too.
New spouses.
Yes.
Now you got all these dynamics. It gets a little tough.
It gets interesting these days. We were fortunate to meet when our kids were older.
That helps.
But I've seen a lot of people that integrate, you know, young growing up families together and stuff, and that takes a lot of work and a lot of thought. There's a lot of lives on the line there. You know, the happiness and welfare of a lot of people are there. So I think we're all about conscious relationships, you know, choosing to behave in a certain way, choosing to think about it a certain way, and to work together on the relationship's energy, because there's you, there's me, and then there's this relationship we have together that needs some attention.
Yeah. Now, I would suggest, and let me just get your comments on this, is really, to be in a relationship, it's my idea was always look at yourself first.
Yes.
I mean, too many people blame, you know, they someone does something and they go, oh, you hurt my feelings, and they're always pointing the finger at them. But if you look at how you responded, it's your button that responded. What is that? Is it low self-esteem? Is it, I mean, if someone called me a bad mechanic, I go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And your point?
Yeah.
But it won't hurt me.
Exactly.
But so in other words, where is the low self-esteem? What is the pain that's being brought up? If you work on that, guess what? Your response changes and their response may change too.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about that. We have about 3 minutes left, I think, 3 to 4. And I think that's valuable to, as your first thought, look at yourself first. Go internal.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you teach that? I mean, do people give you strange looks when you say, what? But it's her fault.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah. Well, it's a lot easier to blame somebody else. But you just wrote a blog on the he's like, what blog?
Which blog?
The blog, yeah.
You write a lot of blogs.
He does.
I try to write one a week.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But the last one was on the relationship you have with yourself.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
And truly is. It is. It's the number one. You know, when someone someone says something to you, someone yells at you or whatever it is, really what is happening there, it's all about them. Yeah. Nothing to do with you. It's all about their reaction to what has occurred. So it's not, you shouldn't take that on because it's all about them, not about you. So, you know, when you, like I say, it's the relationship with yourself that's at stake here. It's the one thing you have to take care of first. Once you have that down,
you get clear with who you are and what you're looking for. One of my friends on Facebook today said, okay, I'm jumping into the dating pool. What advice does anybody have for me? And I said, get very clear on what you're looking for before you go out.
Yeah, makes sense.
Very clear. And then you'll recognize it when it shows up.
That totally makes sense. And in a comment, let me throw this comment out from one of your comments. I heard someone say, what you think of me is none of my business.
Yes, I've heard that.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
And that's what you both are saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that take some internal strength of having great confidence and self-assuredness that, hey, I'm okay person?
Actually, it's almost seeing what's actually real, not coloring it with your own thoughts.
Right.
It's seeing reality as it truly is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's an important lesson to learn, but because one reacts, you react, and it's now a tennis match of anger and hostility.
It is. Right.
Is that why the divorce rate is so high?
I think so.
Is that one of your goals, is to clean that up?
We would love to. I mean, and we think people ought to talk to coaches or therapists before they actually get into trouble. You know, there's a point where it's too little too late. And by taking that preventative thing, when it's just starting to get a little stale, let's say, talking to a coach and working through it, that can make all the difference. Keep you out of divorce court.
Do you notice one or the other more, it's more important to be, you know, repairing the relationship? Is that too general, like the wife or the husband? Is there one that seems to really want to make it work and the other one doesn't, or is that just real individualized?
I think what tends to happen is the wife finds something and says, let's do this. And oftentimes the husband says, I don't know, what are we going to do? I don't want to do that, you know. So I do think there's a little bit of gender thing there. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I don't like stereotypes, but I think that is one that actually plays out. Would you agree, Joe?
Yeah, you go back to the thing where the woman wants the man to change and he doesn't.
That's right.
Same concept.
Yeah. That is so interesting. Yeah, I do seminars called How to Recognize Red Flags in Potential Partners for Singles. It's very popular. Mm-hmm. And mainly it's like 70% women that go. And
yes.
I women seem to be more, as a general rule, more mature spiritually, would you say? It seems that, because I go,
I'll let Joe weigh in on that.
Well, they tend to communicate. You know, the specter of John Wayne, this quiet, silent, what is it?
Type.
Strong, silent type. That's very big, you know? And so men don't talk.
Yeah.
Men just do. Well,
would not be
manly. But women will. And they're the ones who are going to.
So, and that's probably the reason. So, well, let's get some contact information out. Can you believe this show is just zipped by?
I know.
How do people get in touch with you? I think they should talk to you, and you probably don't mind talking to people.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
Well, let's see. We have a website, www.livingthedreamcoaches, all one word, .com. We've got a Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
You can like us on Facebook. We are Living the Dream Coaches with the spaces in. And you can find us on there. And we tend to put our events and our workshops and things that we're doing right now on the Facebook page, even more so than the website.
And all our contact information is
on the website. You can go on both and sign up.
Do you want to give a phone number out? Do you ever, or email?
The phone number is 888-505-5762. And that will go to both of us, and whoever's available will pick up.
That is excellent. So is that a toll-free number?
That is a toll-free number.
So it goes anywhere and everywhere.
It does, yes.
Just like this radio show, you can have it worldwide at breakradioshow.com. This has been a pleasure and honor. I can't wait for every month, because you're going to be on every second Monday, 2 to 3, Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joel Battaglia. This is exciting, valuable information. Get in touch with you guys. And guess what? We'll see you next month.
Next month.
And we'll probably have some exciting guests sometimes. We'll talk about certain themes, things that will enhance the quality of people's lives, make a difference. That's the key. Thank you, Joe and Lori. We'll see you next month.
Thanks. Pleasure.
And stay tuned for Understanding Autism right up at 3 o'clock.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Coalition, Phoenix.
Tax time is here again. Let Bierenbaum and Spiang relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business, such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Bierenbaum and Spiang has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff, and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spiang, CPA.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.